You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of Atlantis we came, moving loudly through 100 episodes. Everyone knew we were among you, but not like this. It's Transmissions from Atlantis, featuring Brazen Witch Productions' own JC and Rita Della Torre. And now, your hosts.
Don't blink. Don't even blink. Blink and you're dead.
Hey there, everybody. My name is JC Della Torre.
And I'm Rita Della Torre.
And this is episode 103 of Transmissions from Atlantis. It's our Halloween special.
Yay!
Boo!
Boo on you.
Boo on you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you.
Happy what? Halloween.
All right, folks. So, obviously, we've been a little bit off the air for a little while because Rita and I decided to have a nice vacation.
To Hawaii!
To Hawaii and also Disneyland as well. It was an awesome vacation, but we're glad to be back here talking to you, and we have an unbelievable show this week, as we will be discussing Fear the Walking Dead. We'll also be discussing
The Walking Dead,
and oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, but we have some theories about that, so.
Yes, but just so you know, we will be speaking spoilers.
Oh yes, there'll be big time spoilers. We'll also be catching you up on Doctor Who,
Supernatural, and Once Upon a Time.
As well as another Dr. Geek's moment in science. I'm sure he has something cooked up for us that should be fun and spooky. But first, let's talk The Walking Dead. All right, folks, so this is our Halloween section of the podcast this week, and let's start it off with Fear the Walking Dead.
Fear the Walking Dead, I think we were on the fence on it for, like, the first half of the episodes.
More than that.
Probably more than half of the episodes. But then it really, really got awesome towards the end, but I think I know why.
Because it actually started to resemble The Walking Dead by the end of it?
Exactly. For a spinoff? I mean, what did you expect?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. We knew that this was going to be a prequel. And for those that don't know what Fear the Walking Dead is, it's a prequel to The Walking Dead series where we find out how people reacted to the zombie apocalypse as it happened. We never really got to see that from the actual Walking Dead, because it picks up about a couple months into the zombie apocalypse, where everything's already gone to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, exactly. We see it from Rick's perspective after he's been in a coma for, like, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, Fear the Walking Dead was unique in regards to, we got to see the progression of the apocalypse, which we didn't get to see in The Walking Dead, but the problem is that I don't think it quite worked.
Yeah, because the progression was slow.
Really slow. And so the action, the horror that we typically love to watch in The Walking Dead was just not there until, like, the last episode.
And another thing that kind of was not good about this series was that you didn't really care about any of the characters.
None of them were relatable.
I mean, you had the heroin addict son, who was an idiot. You had the mom, who got a little badass towards the end, but pretty much was just...
mostly stupid most of the time.
Mostly stupid most of the time.
Mostly.
And then the guy, who's supposed to be the Rick of the group, he was a flipping moron. Oh, I couldn't stand that dude.
And then you had the Hispanic family, who had their share of... problems with the father just being a complete nut job.
Yep.
And
of course you had to have the teenage angst daughter, who was just absolutely annoying at how clueless she was.
And the other teenage boy who's still trying to find himself, blah blah blah. Yep. I'm like, oh Lord.
It was such cliche characters that it was just really, really bad. You could tell it wasn't something that Robert Kirkman really wrote. It was more of something that was contrived to kind of fill some space until Walking Dead started.
And I'm sorry, it just didn't work.
The first seven episodes or so didn't work.
Well, the only reason why the last episode worked is because now we're getting into that, you know, they're running for their lives. The zombie apocalypse has now happened, and, you know, they're just trying to survive. But now it's The Walking Dead. And for that, we have The Walking Dead.
Well, I mean, I'm okay with more Walking Dead. I don't have a problem with that. I think what really disappointed me was there was a point where it was starting to get good. You know, when the lady had to kill her boss, you know, because he became a zombie. And you saw more and more zombie action starting to happen. And to me, The Walking Dead isn't all about the zombies. But if you're going to have a zombie show, you should have some frickin' zombies in it.
No, the thing about The Walking Dead is that every once in a while they'll interject an episode where there's not as much zombie action and you have a little bit more of the drama.
But there's always more conflict with, like, other people. And yeah, there wasn't that supplement. So the first 2.5 episodes, there really wasn't much happening. You know, you'd see a zombie here or there, and, you know, nobody would believe the drug addict kid, and it was just very, very slow.
But yeah, the whole problem was is that as soon as it looks like it's finally starting to pick up, then it goes slow.
Yeah, because it went from, wow, this is really getting good now, to, oh, hey, look, the military's here, and everybody's safe, and guess what? It's all boring crap again.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to find out about the guy's son is see some people on the other side of the fence, but nobody wants to go get them, and then the military guys are all a-holes, and... It was just crap. It was crap. Until that last episode.
And it's only because of that last episode that we'll probably watch more.
Yeah.
But if it continues along the same lines that this season has been, I'm probably not going
to
watch
Well, it won't, because it can't. Because it's already gotten to the point where, you know, everybody's on the run and they're going to be running for their lives. It's going to become The Walking Dead. But the thing that really was interesting is how high ratings it got. I mean, the ratings were through the roof. It was as good as The Walking Dead gets. And that was a big surprise. And in fact, Fear the Walking Dead got a full 15-episode order for next season.
Hmm, interesting.
So we're going to have Fear the Walking Dead for a while because people like the zombie brand that The Walking Dead franchise brings. I wouldn't be surprised if we see more spinoffs.
I just hope that the characters are written a little bit better next season because at this moment in time, I could care less which one of them were to live or die.
I was rooting for the zombies. I truly was rooting for the zombies.
I mean, I honestly did not care.
Yeah. And that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if it took us a while to really get behind the cast of The Walking Dead, but I liked Rick off the start.
No, I did too. His wife, not so much. Carl, he grew on you.
No, Carl never grew on me. I still hate Carl.
But, you know, there are other characters that I've always loved from the beginning, like Carol. Obviously, there are characters that are no longer with us, which I actually did care when they died.
Yep.
But,
and, of course, Daryl.
And, of course, Daryl. I mean, yep. We loved Daryl from the beginning, too.
Yep.
But
and Glenn. I always liked Glenn. which we'll get to. So, Fear the Walking Dead, what will you rate it?
Ugh. Unless it gets better, I'm giving
it... No, rate it on what we got now.
Do I rate it on the series as a whole, or the last episode?
The series as a whole.
Five.
I think I'm with you on it, because it just started so slow and was a bit boring until that final episode. Yeah, I'm right with you. It's a five for me.
I mean, if I even cared about... I mean, I cared more about the one soldier they were torturing than the rest of those people.
Yeah. That's pretty bad. That's pretty sad. But that's where we were at.
Yeah.
All right, so that does it for Fear the Walking Dead. Now, the flagship show has started up its new series, and let's go ahead and put all the spoiler warnings that we can. Spoiler, 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 spoiler.
Spoilers. 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 Spoilers.
And so, the new Walking Dead season has started up, and man, has it gotten off to a quick start.
There hasn't been a slow episode yet, and I don't think there's gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, with the introduction of the wolves and thing where they have to kind of get the herd of zombies away from Alexandria. I mean, from the very start, it's been nuts.
Exactly. It has been crazy, but it's been awesome. I think we were missing a little bit of this last season.
Well, it started to drag a little bit when
once they got to Alexandria.
Well, no, even before that, when they were running out of food and they were just kind of aimlessly walking around and
yeah, it was getting a little slow.
It was getting a little slow, and it seemed like there was no hope in sight for them. And then they had the episode where they had the tornado, and then the dude shows up.
Yes.
From Alexandria. And everything changed. You know, then Rick goes on the cray-cray, and, you know, everything just kind of changed. And so this season has kind of started out where Rick is beyond the cray-cray, and they kind of understand where he's coming from. But what's interesting is Rick still doesn't view the town of Alexandria as his people.
Well, because he sees them as weak.
They are weak.
They are weak. He sees his group. And he understands that his group knows how to survive out there. These people that live in Alexandria never knew what out there really was because they were sealed up in that town, you know, at the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what it's like at all.
And, you know, Rick chooses his people above the people of Alexandria. In fact, he told Glenn and Michonne, you know, these people are going to fall behind because they're all stupid. They don't understand what's out there. And if they fall behind, leave them behind. But Michonne and Glenn are kind of the moral compass yes. of Rick.
Yeah.
So
Michonne actually put it best when she was talking to the one guy from Alexandria about
Heath.
How...
Yeah, Heath.
Yeah, Heath. That you don't know what it's like until you've been covered with so much blood that you don't know if it's yours or somebody else's.
Yep, or the walkers.
Or the walkers.
Yep, and so... Obviously, it was kind of foreshadowing, because in the last episode, Glenn and Michonne risked their lives to save the people from Alexandria, and for Glenn, it may not have ended very well. We're not sure yet. See, that's the thing, is that when Nicholas shot himself, he kind of fell on Glenn, and they both tumbled down to the ground. And then pretty much they have this overhead shot where you're seeing Glenn seemingly getting eaten by the herd of walkers. But
then that's it. You don't see him again. And I think, as does Jason and so many others...
I don't think Glenn's dead.
That Glenn wasn't being the one ripped apart. It was Nick.
Yes.
Because Nick landed on top of him.
Yep. I think the blood and guts that we saw was all Nick. And remember... The walkers don't attack dead things. They only attack live things. So, in the world of the walkers, if Nick's dead blood is all over Glenn, when they're done eating Nick, then Glenn can actually get up and be walking among the walkers, and nobody's going to know, none of the walkers are going to attack him, because they're going to think he's another walker.
Either that, or he'll just hide underneath Nick's body until they've dispersed.
Or he's dead.
Or he's dead, but I don't think so.
I really don't think he's dead either, and I think some other additional evidence to that is they always have the person that died on the show, the Talking Dead, right after the show. And that actor, Stephen, I can't pronounce his last name, but he was not on The Talking Dead after the show, so.
And I have another proof that he's probably not dead, but this is going to be really spoilery.
Okay, so we'll do another spoiler warning.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Spoilers.
So apparently there was a photo leaked on set where you see Glenn with some of the other Walking Dead characters wearing different clothes than what he was wearing that day.
Mm-hmm.
Beside another actor who very, very much looks like the person who's going to be playing Negan.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
You'll have to show me that photo later.
Yes.
So
I can find it again.
So if that's the case, then it's pretty obvious that he's not dead yet.
I think he's not. I hope he's not.
Yeah.
Because I really like Glenn. He is the consummate survivor on that show.
I think with the introduction of the wolves, things are going to get very interesting in Alexandria. Everything that Rick has told those people has come to pass. And I don't see how anybody can challenge him now. But now he's going to face a new challenge when they introduce Negan. Because Negan's coming. It's all leading up to it. It's following what happened in the comic series.
So, in other words, obvious. If you thought the governor was absolutely nutso, wait till you meet Negan. Negan makes the governor look like a cute little puppy.
I just want to know what they're going to do about the language, because the one thing that made Negan so interesting
was the F-bombs.
He was the most foul-mouthed character I think I've ever read in a comic series. I mean, every other word was F this, F that, you know, cuss this, cuss that. You know, it was, but it added to his character because he would come up with these weird iterations of the F word. You know, that I can't say it because we're a family show, but I mean, it would be hilarious how he would combine the F word with, like, fantastic, or F word with, something else.
So kind of like Malcolm Tucker.
Yeah, it was like Malcolm Tucker, but as a demented, you know, serial-killing psychopath. And so, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how they played that Negan character, because he's got to be over the top, because he was a million times crazier than the governor ever was.
So, all in all, I mean, we've only been, what, 2 episodes in?
3, I think.
3?
Yeah, I think it's 3.
And so far, so good. It looks like it's probably going to be one of the best seasons we've seen of Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead just gets better and better. You know,
every year.
It's
every season.
It's just a great, great television show. And as long as the actors stay with it, well, then again, they don't have to stay with it because they can just kill them off and we'll get other people.
that's the thing that's with this type of show. Works. I mean, even though, we have a lot of characters in The Walking Dead that we love, there's been other characters that we've also loved. Characters are going to come and go. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I honestly think there's only one character that cannot die in the show.
And that's Daryl.
No, it's Rick. Rick can't die in the show. The whole show revolves around Rick.
Yeah, that's true, but...
But Daryl, Daryl's expendable. Because remember, Daryl was never in the comics.
So his character is completely up in the air.
Yep. In fact, there is a scene in the comics that was reserved for Glenn that really accentuated the lunacy of Negan that I think Daryl's probably a better candidate for.
I don't want to go there.
Yep. So let's hope that's not the case, because I am a Daryl fan. I am part of the Kill Daryl and Re-Riot fan club there. But I have a feeling that something's going to happen with Daryl at some point, because he is not...
He can't go unscathed for too much longer.
Yeah, he's not a character in the comic book, so he's expendable. And as much as the fans love him, that would be the most shocking death on television if they kill Daryl.
Yep, I agree.
So
even more shocking than if Glenn had died.
Yep. In fact, it wouldn't shock me if that's like their season finale.
Ugh, let's not go.
And everybody just loses their mind at the end of it. That'd be Wow. Yeah, you're right. We can't even...
I can't even go there
right
now. I don't even want to envision it. Okay, let's move on.
So, let's get a rating for...
10.
Okay, so there you go. 10 for the start of the Walking Dead season, and we will keep track of that as we go along. Probably by our next episode, we'll be at the mid-season break for Walking Dead, so we'll probably talk about it again the next episode as well. So, let's talk Supernatural and Supernatural's return, or as I like to call it, Supernatural The Walking Dead Edition.
Oh, just because of that one episode you had people killing other people.
It was so obvious that they were trying to...
They were not.
They were totally trying to riff on The Walking Dead. I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
They totally were.
Nope.
They totally were. With the... What did...
They were not zombies. They were not the undead. They were just crazy people who were infected with something, killing other people, and then they died. But they weren't going around eating people.
It was exactly the same jump scares that you have in The Walking Dead. It was... Yeah, please. Please.
Whatevers. Whatevs.
All right, so Castiel obviously getting help from the Winchesters to try to shake this crazy curse that Rowena's got on him. By the way, Rowena's a character that can die.
Yeah, I'm so over her already. Frankly, I'm over Crowley now, too. I mean, he's gotten...
No, I'm never over Crowley.
Well, I'm definitely over the rest of his demons. They're all a bunch of...
They're all a bunch of wusses, yes.
Yes.
And the Darkness character, I'm totally expecting to find out that Dean banged her.
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
That's I'm totally expecting that. And that this demon child, Damien...
I actually don't know. It
is probably going to be Dean's kid. You watch. You watch!
I actually don't... Well, no, I don't think that the girl is Dean's kid.
You watch.
What I think... is that I don't know what the Darkness is, because this is a being that predates Earth, predates humans.
That's God versus the Darkness, so...
Is it? Or is...
They've already said that, so...
When did they say that?
Like, in when she was talking about
Well, yeah, we know that God trapped her, but why? I think there's more to her story than just her being pure, unadulterated evil.
Yeah, I don't know. She seemed pretty evil-y to me.
Yeah, but then in some scenes, she doesn't quite seem completely evil. She seems almost like a normal girl. And especially when you see those scenes where she's talking to Dean, I don't think we know her entire story. There is something about her that we don't know yet.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure there's still more to be told. Of course, with her ripping the souls out of people and killing people, she doesn't seem not evilly.
If that's the way she eats, maybe that's all she understands or knows, but that might not necessarily make her evil.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with her ripping the souls out of demons in hell.
I definitely think that there's something more to her than we know so far, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing that play out.
But the poor young cop lady that got killed was kind of sad.
Eh.
I mean, she took the baby under her wing and everything, and... You know, end up being dead for it.
Yeah, and the baby with the whole feed me with the cubes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
Makes you not want to have kids.
no problem there. But yeah, so it was... I'm waiting and seeing how Supernatural goes, because it's one of those deals where Supernatural always starts out kind of crappy, and then by the end of it, it's like... really good, so...
And I know we've said this before, and we've said this a lot in the past several seasons, but I really wish they would go back to the whole Creature of the Week thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really miss that kind of dynamic instead of just everything being focused on the story arc.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. This type of storytelling that they've been doing for the last few seasons has gotten a little old, and I miss the old Supernatural.
Yeah.
I really do. But, you know... Castiel has his legion of fans, so you always have to have a Castiel element to it. And they've already killed the devil, they've killed the angels, they've killed the top angel that was God's right-hand man. And, you know, you gotta find a worthy adversary to the Winchesters
That's the problem. They've already gone through everything in the book. It's right. Like, what else do you make now? The darkness. Okay. So, I don't know.
Hell, the Winchesters killed Death, for crying out loud. So it's
exactly.
Like,
it's like, what is there left for them to do?
Yeah.
And how are they even still living?
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like, you know, they even conquered Dean being a demon, you know?
I'm hoping that whole Reaper thing on this last episode, telling them that now that Death is gone, you know, this is your last hurrah and there's no more coming back to life for you guys, means that they're not going to do that plot device anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's gotten so old. I mean, how many times have each of them come back to life?
Yeah, either that or one of them dies and doesn't come back.
Yeah.
You know, and make it stick this time. You know, maybe Jensen Ackles or Jared Padalecki are tired of doing Super... Although, you know, come on. Let's face it. You know, you've had a gig for almost 12 years. Everybody still loves it. Everybody still wants it on television. The network still wants it. Why would you walk away from that?
Exactly.
Look what it did for David Duchovny, right? He went to make movies and become a big superstar, and guess what? He's making X-Files in the 20 years later because he couldn't do nothing else. Learn, boys. Learn.
Well, he didn't do anything else that we would watch, but he's done stuff.
What? The horrible TV show that he had on for a while where he was like this weird sex addict it was like an HBO show or something.
Wasn't he in some other show?
Nah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever it was X-Files.
Alright, so far, it's starting off a little bit slow.
Well, I mean, you can't really say it started off slow because it was an action-packed first couple episodes, but at the same time, it's like, I'm trying hard to get excited about this season of Supernatural because...
Because of the last few seasons.
Because it's kind of the same crap, just regurgitated.
Exactly.
So... We'll see how it goes.
And they already have the Winchester brothers going, me, 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 me.
Sam's already hiding, you know, that he got sick from Dean and, you know, lying to each other. And it's the same crap every single year. So, I don't know. For me, the start of the season is a 6.
You? Ditto.
6 for you?
Yeah. So. But I know how Supernatural will be. It'll start picking up towards the middle or the end.
Yeah, we'll get to a point where we're like, we'll just stop watching it for a while, and then we'll catch up on it, and then it'll be, okay, it was a good season.
Yep.
So, we'll see how it goes.
All right, so next up, we're going to talk about Once Upon a Time.
Yep.
We finally caught up with the second half of the last season. Which, if you guys remember, involved Cruella, Ursula, and Maleficent.
Yep.
And actually started watching the new season. Yay!
And I gotta admit that the Cruella, Ursula, and Maleficent storyline...
Was actually really good.
Was much better than I anticipated it being. In fact, the reason why we didn't watch it, because we thought it was going to be stupid. Because usually with Once Upon a Time, you have half the season that's good and half the season that's stupid. So... We expected that to be the stupid part of Once Upon a Time this past season.
Because the Frozen half of the season was actually really good.
Yeah.
And it was done very well.
So we totally expected the stupid part of Once Upon a Time season to be the Cruella line.
I was like, Cruella? Really?
But it turned out to be really well done. I was very impressed with it. I enjoyed it. And it led into Dark Swan.
Dark Swan. I'm like, oh my god, that was just so awesome. And so far, this new season has just started off with a bang.
Yes. I mean, it's been really captivating to see Emma Swan as the Dark One, as an evil character.
The beginning of the season and up to now has really been just keeping you at the edge of your seat because you just don't know what's going to happen next.
Yep, and it's interesting to see Rumple without his powers kind of being, you know...
What he always was.
What he always was, which is a coward. And I'm not sure how I feel about the King Arthur storyline with Arthur being evil. I'm not feeling that too much, but the rest of it has been, with Dark Swan, has been really good. And, you know, once upon a time, they always have to lose their memories for 6 weeks and then kind of recap
what
the whole thing.
What is up with that?
That's their plot device. That's what they use.
I guess, but they've used it now so many times that the whole amnesia thing is starting to get a little old.
It is,
but
it still works.
But it does still work. But I also think that instead of... they're using Emma's dream catchers.
Mm-hmm.
As a way to recapture those memories little by little, instead of just having everybody just have that amnesia throughout the entire half season until you get to the end.
Yep.
So that's being done a little bit different there, but it does work for them.
And it is interesting to see the Dark One dagger is actually part of Excalibur.
That was kind of cool.
That's interesting. I like that kind of twist. I like... Merlin being a young brother. That was interesting. That was an interesting twist. You don't expect that.
And remember, they were like, well, why do you look so young? And it was like, I've been trapped in a tree for so many long.
It's great for the skin.
It's great for the skin.
Yeah. I don't know. I've kind of liked the way this season has started. And I think Once Upon a Time on a roll a bit. So
I agree, especially if they're having three of these seasons back to back to back that were really awesome, starting with the Frozen one, and then the trio villain, and now Dark Swan. I mean, they're really on a roll.
Yeah.
You know something I was thinking about the other day when we were watching Once Upon a Time?
What's that?
Characters that we haven't seen yet from the Disney universe.
Yep.
Like, we haven't seen Aladdin and Jasmine yet.
Correct, yep. We just got Merida from Brave, so she just...
And she's adorable.
Yeah, she's... smoking hot.
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
But,
hey! She's cute.
Yeah, she's hot. But anyway.
Cute.
That's what I said.
Oh, no, you didn't.
There's so many Disney movies out there. I don't think we've seen Tiana. I wonder if they would ever stick her in there.
They might. Anyway, so let's rate Once Upon a Time.
I shall give it a 9.
9?
9?
Inside joke from Hawaii, guys. Alright. I will give it an 8.
The only reason I'm giving it a 9 is because even though it does work, I'm still kind of a little over the whole amnesia thing. Because they seem to use that every single season. Yep. With somebody, at least.
I'm giving it an 8 because I'm not too crazy about the Arthur is evil storyline. But...
I'm actually okay with it.
Are you?
Yeah.
I don't like it. But... yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's kind of like Peter Pan being evil, you know? I mean, Peter Pan was always a hero. And whole Peter Pan line was just so, so bad.
King Arthur was a legend. And a lot of people would say he's a hero, but he's a very tragic hero.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't mind the whole evil Arthur storyline.
I've always been partial to the King Arthur mythology, and I've always looked at Arthur, you're right, as a tragic character. His wife cheated on him, you know, his sister, you know, or half-sister, or whatever the hell she is, his opposition, and eventually gets him killed. I always saw that as a tragic kind of thing. I never saw him as an evil person. He was always supposed to be the example of nobility. So...
but instead, he just kept... He was just one of those people where everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And there was pretty much nothing he can do about it.
Yep. But he was always the hero, though. And the fact that they made him the bad guy, that he's an evil, you know, guy, I don't like it. I don't like it. So that's why I gave it an 8. Before we move on, let's really quick talk about the new Star Wars trailer.
Awesome, awesome, freaking awesome, awesome.
Yeah, I concur. That's all we got to say about that. Coming up next is Dr. Geek's Moment in Science, and then we have a lot of catching up to do with Doctor Who.
Woo! Woo!
Welcome
Dr. Geek's Moment of Science. Here is the lab director and your human host, Dr. Geek.
Hello, everyone. Today I thought it would be fun to let Claire choose the topic for today's Moment of Science. So what will it be, Claire? Transporters? Lightsabers?
Ghosts.
Ghosts? That's a bit of a non sequitur, even for you.
This lab is haunted. Make with the science of ghost busting.
What? Oh, our Halloween preparations. Sorry, Claire. No need to call the Ghostbusters. At least not yet. The ghost we showed you earlier today was an illusion.
Next you're gonna tell me it was all done by mirrors.
Well, yes, actually. I'll explain.
Please do.
Mr. Flask and I set up our Halloween display using an illusion called Pepper's Ghost. For the illusion to work, you need two rooms which are identical mirror images of one another. People will be able to see the main room, but not the hidden one. By controlling the amount of light, the glass allows the reflections of the ghost to appear to interact with the props in the main room. Simple, no?
I don't know. They looked real to me.
But the hidden room is right over here. Let me show you.
Just because you have a hidden room doesn't mean the ghost isn't real.
Fine. Deus, activate program Ghost Host 1.
Acknowledged.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Haunted Laboratory.
There they are. This room is full of dancing ghosts.
I'm setting my sonic servo to PKE mode. If they were real ghosts, I should be getting a reading. There. Nothing. Deus, end program.
Acknowledged.
There, Claire. I hope that clarifies things for you.
Sure does. I just have one question.
Ask away.
Where did that ghost come from?
What? Huh. Well, look at that.
I told you it's real.
What do we do now?
I don't know. Talk to it. Just make contact.
Pardon me, miss. Where did you come from? Originally, I mean.
Shh.
Okay, I got it. I know what to do. Stay close. I've got a plan. Do exactly as I say. Ready?
Ready.
Get her!
Ah!
What was that?
I'll get back to you. In the meantime, everyone should apply their geekdom!
This Moment of Science was brought to you by Dr. Geek's Laboratory of Applied Geekdom, a Brazen Wench production, copyright 2014, in association with this network. Join the adventure. Download the full labcast at www.drgeeklab.com and follow us at facebook.com/drgeeklab and twitter.com/drgeeklab.
When one speaks of the perfect symmetry between science fiction, fantasy, and horror podcasting, with a special emphasis on Doctor Who, one should become a connoisseur of transmissions from Atlantis, featuring JC and Rita Della Torre. While both will have a passionate and vigorous argument on the subject of the day, they do so with the utmost class.
Harry Potter fan that thinks they're the only fandom that has passionate fans. That's a bunch of crap.
You know what? That is bullcrap. Harry Potter fans do not believe that way, and I don't even know where you're pulling that
well,
from.
Well, that's absolutely what you just said. That point.
Respect.
What? That wasn't stupid.
You're stupid. Stupid.
And dignity.
Commander Riker here! I'm by the book!
Prime Directive, Kenny!
Prime Directive! Geeky!
Join Transmissions from Atlantis weekly at transmissionsfromatlantis.com and part of the ESO network. Yes, it's quite good, really.
This is Gareth David Lloyd. I play Yanto in Torchwood, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis.
I tried to talk. I want you to remember that. I tried to reach out. I tried to understand you, but I think that you understand us perfectly.
I think that you just don't care. And I don't know whether you're here to invade, infiltrate, or just replace us. I don't suppose it really matters now. You are monsters!
That is the role you seem determined to play, so it seems that I must play mine. The man that stops the monsters. I'm sending you back to your own dimension. Who knows? Some of you may even survive the trip. And if you do, remember this. You are not welcome here. This plane is protected. I am the Doctor.
Folks know the sound of that music, and it is Doctor Who time. And some big news that just got released just recently is that both Stephen Moffat and Peter Capaldi will be back for Series 10.
Sweet.
Meh on one, and yay on the other.
I mean, I know some people are hoping Russell T. Davies will somehow or another come back, but...
Russell T. Davies is not coming back. Russell T. Davies has his own path that he's going to
He's do. Moved on, dude.
He has definitely moved on. He has no interest in coming back to Doctor Who. Moffat is just sticking around. He likes doing Doctor Who, and as long as he likes doing Doctor Who and the ratings stay high...
He's gonna keep doing it.
He's gonna keep doing it. So, if you don't like it, don't watch, but... Don't stop watching, because we want to keep Doctor Who on the air.
Yep.
Speaking of on the air, we've had 4 new episodes since our last Quick Blast, and starting with the 2-parter, Under the Lake and Before the Flood.
Spoilers.
Which were, by the way, 2 awesome episodes.
I thought they were pretty fantastic myself.
Yeah, I mean, the whole ghosting was already creepy enough. But then when you get to the end of Under the Lake and, oh no, the Doctor's dead and he's a ghost now too.
Yeah.
Or is he?
I was very intrigued to see how Toby Whithouse actually got himself out of that scenario where the Doctor is somehow dead.
I find Toby Whithouse to be a good writer. So far, I've liked all the episodes that he's done.
Yeah, I think his episodes have been actually pretty awesome. So let's start with Under the Lake. I mean, Under the Lake... actually was kind of introduced the concept of ghosts, and of course you'd think Doctor Who that he's always got some kind of technical reason for the ghosts. It turned out that there was a technical reason for it, but still, they were kind of like spirits.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really think within the 2-parter that they ever really explained how the spirits came about.
Yeah. And it was kind of interesting just the way that they just made it really spooky. The way that they kind of were saying stuff, but you couldn't hear them, and the Doctor had to figure out what they were saying, and, you know, they had the deaf person be able to read lips and figure out what the people were saying.
And there's the fact that these so-called spirits can actually pick up physical... They can walk through walls, but they can also pick up physical items to kill you.
Yeah, like an axe.
Like, okay, freaky...
And, of course, one of the ghosts was from the planet Tivoli, where we first met one of the people from Tivoli in the God Complex. Yes.
The, hi, we're here for you to invade us people.
Yeah, those kind of people. So that was kind of interesting. I didn't really see that race ever coming back into Doctor Who, but...
No, me neither.
It was kind of interesting that it did come back. The Doctor also does give a casual mention to flesh avatars as well, so another throwback to the 11th Doctor. They did actually find a practical use for the sonic sunglasses, that the Doctor proposed a plan to capture the ghosts in the Faraday cage using his holographic projections from his sonic sunglasses.
Oh, that's right.
And of course, in the second episode, the episode opens with the Doctor explaining the bootstrap paradox to the audience.
And if you don't know what that is, Google it.
Yeah. And it was an interesting kind of hypothetical that he was throwing out there, where, you know, who really composed Beethoven's Fifth?
So there's this man, he has a time machine. Up and down history he goes, zip, 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 getting into scrapes. Another thing he has is a passion for the works of Ludwig van Beethoven. And one day he thinks, what's the point of having a time machine if you don't get to meet your heroes? So, off he goes to 18th century Germany. But he can't find Beethoven anywhere. No one's heard of him. Not even his family have any idea who the time traveler is talking about. Beethoven, literally, doesn't exist. This didn't happen, by the way. I've met Beethoven. Nice chap. Very intense. Loved an arm wrestle. No, this is called the bootstrap paradox. Google it. The time traveler panics. He can't bear the thought of a world without the music of Beethoven. Luckily, he brought all of his Beethoven sheet music for Ludwig to sign. So he copies out all the concertos and the symphonies, and he gets them published. He becomes Beethoven. And history continues with barely a feather ruffled. But my question is this. Who put those notes and phrases together? Who really composed Beethoven's Fifth?
And, of course, he says midway through, this didn't happen, by the way. Beethoven's a real guy.
But theoretically, it could have happened.
Yeah. And it kind of made sense and helped us get to understand how the Doctor kind of self-fulfills his own prophecy, but then who started the prophecy? It was a big kind of question at the end of the episode.
Yeah, exactly. It was just one of those things where, okay, you know, we understand why this happened, we just don't quite understand how it happened, and it's kind of left open.
And of course, there's the Fisher King, who was the villain in this particular episode.
By the way, he was pretty creepy, too.
I was disappointed that they kind of did away with him so quickly.
Yeah, but he wasn't really the whole point.
I know, but it was just kind of interesting. He was an interesting kind of alien. You know,
he's definitely an alien, at least that I haven't seen.
Yeah,
before. Well,
no, I don't think he's ever been in Doctor Who before. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty interesting. Of course, the Doctor plays a lot of electric guitar.
I love it when he's playing the electric guitar. When he's playing the guitar, it's, you know, it's him playing it,
mm-hmm.
and not just some background music, and it's really, really cool.
Yep, and it was also kind of funny seeing him play the Beethoven's Fifth, dan, 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 you know, just to kind of accentuate, you know, what he's talking about with Beethoven's symphony.
So, of course, then we get to the end of this episode where the ghost doctor wasn't actually a ghost, but a hologram the entire time.
Mm-hmm. And it was a hologram created by the Doctor after he figured out what the Fisher King was doing.
Which is also another mystery that's kind of unexplained, because the ghosts, or spirits, or whatever you want to call them, are intuned enough to know who has read the message and who hasn't.
Right.
And yet they can't differentiate between a human being and a hologram?
Yeah. I don't know. But I'll give it to Toby Whithouse on that one.
Unless the ghosts themselves are some kind of projection.
Yeah. Which I think is what they were trying to say, but at the same time, they were still entities that were that had souls, but they were just kind of like vessels, you know?
Yeah, that was a little weird.
I think that there was never really a clear definition of what the ghosts were.
Yeah. I think all in all, I really enjoyed the two-parter. It was extremely entertaining. The story was very compelling. What would you rate it?
The two-parter, I'll give it an 8, because I thought it was actually really good.
Yeah, I think I'll give it the same, too. There were a couple things in the two-parter that probably could have been explained a little bit better, which is why I'd probably give it a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Or not give it a 10. But other than that, you know, it's enjoyable, and I'll definitely rewatch again. And what's cool about this is that so far so good, this season has been much better than last season.
Oh, it's like night and day compared to last season. Last season was just such a downer.
Even Claire is not annoying.
Yeah, she annoys me a little bit, but not as much as she did last year.
Yeah, but have you noticed that she isn't as much in the forefront this season as she has been in the past couple seasons?
Yeah, especially in the second episode, A Woman Who Lived.
Yeah.
Which is the next two episodes that we're going to be talking about, which, of course, starred Game of Thrones star Maisie Williams.
Which, by the way, this two-parter is probably my favorite two-parter so far this season.
Is it really? Okay. Why?
Well, you get two back-to-back period episodes in two periods.
Mm-hmm.
But they're two-parters.
Yes. Very true.
I mean, how cool was that? The first takes place during Norse culture, and you get the Vikings, and you got the alien pretending to be Thor or Odin, and blah, blah, blah. And her trying to protect her village. And then on the second one, it is... I'm trying to remember the time period. It's definitely French Renaissance.
Yeah, Renaissance time period. You know, like the Robin Hood time.
And instead of her trying to save her village, now she's a highwayman. Yep. Robber. And she's definitely been around a while. And by the time we get to that second part, she's already 800 years old.
Yep. And there were a lot of throwbacks to classic Doctor Who and previous Doctor Who in this particular episode. After meeting the Vikings, the Doctor produces a yo-yo in an attempt to oppress them with his magic. A former companion, Leela, of the Fourth Doctor's run, he actually provides her a yo-yo to play with. And it's like this magical thing to her. It's kind of a funny throwback. You also see the Doctor leafing through the 2,000-year diary.
Which was cool.
Which is an upgraded version of the 500-year diary.
That the second Doctor. Yep,
exactly. Of course, probably one of the big moments for a lot of Doctor Who fans was reversing the polarity of the neutron flow. a phrase that has been said many times throughout the history of Doctor Who and started with the Third Doctor.
Yes, so that was really, really cool.
Also, you saw kind of an explanation of why the Doctor took his face from Cassius, or whatever that guy's name is, in Fires from Pompeii.
Yes.
And we actually got to see a quick shot of David Tennant and Catherine Tate.
That was really, really cool. But we always knew they were going to explain the face, and now that's what they did. They kind of explained why this face.
Basically, the face told him that he's the Doctor, and he saves people.
Yep.
And that's what the face represents. That the 10th Doctor saved the guy and his family.
Exactly. It's like, and that goes back to Catherine Tate. Just save one. One. Mm-hmm. And he goes back and goes,
yep,
and saves the family.
Exactly. And the reason why he chose that face was to remind himself, you know, in this new
that he
line of regeneration, that he saves people. Exactly.
Exactly.
So let's talk The Woman Who Lived, which was the second part of the series. I didn't think this episode was as strong as the first episode in the two-parter.
Yeah, I didn't like the alien villain.
Yeah.
He was a little cheesy
too. Yeah, the lion that could, like, breathe fire or whatever, he was like...
Yeah, he was kind of a little lame. But Maisie's character in this second film was just... It was freaking awesome. And she totally portrayed how bitter a person can become after being alive for 800 years.
Yep.
I loved it when you go into her house and you just see all of these shelves of these massive journals that she keeps.
Mm-hmm.
And why? It's because she can't remember her entire life.
Yeah,
because
her brain isn't... I mean, she's not a Time Lord, so she can't remember all of that.
She can't retain...
Well, even the Doctor can't remember his 2,000 years, so...
Yeah. Well, he can still remember most of it.
Bits and pieces
come
down. His brain
functions a lot differently than ours is.
Right.
And her brain is obviously...
A human
doesn't
brain.
Have,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a human brain and does not have the capacity to hold that many memories. So she keeps a journal.
Yeah.
And this journal has spanned for 800 years, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
And then another thing I liked about Maisie's character in this, especially in the second part, is that she alludes to the fact that she knows who the Doctor is because she's learned about him through history.
Yep. So you have to wonder, though, that, and in fact, the Doctor actually even mentions Captain Jack Harkness.
Yes.
In this episode, as another fellow immortal that she'll eventually meet. But you have to kind of wonder, why didn't Jack kind of have the same experience that Ashir did?
Well, for starters, Jack wasn't human.
Right, but he was humanoid.
He was humanoid, but then again, the Doctor is also humanoid.
Yeah.
We don't know, you know, how Jack's race, you know, their brains function or not. His situation was also a lot different. The reason why she was immortal is because of a medical device that the Doctor implanted into her forehead that continuously fixes her and keeps her from aging.
Yep.
On the other hand, though, Jack was infused with the time vortex.
Very true, yeah.
Which made him immortal, so his situation is completely different.
No, he wasn't infused with the time vortex. It was Bad Wolf Rose fixed him, but fixed him in a way to where he could never die.
Exactly. So whatever she did to him is obviously kept him from totally forgetting everything. And the thing about Jack is that we know he's been alive for millions, if not billions, of years.
Because he becomes the face of Bo.
Exactly. So, like I said, his situation is much different.
Yeah, that's very true. So, it's interesting. I like this episode as well. I didn't think it was a bad episode. I was maybe expecting a little bit more out of these two episodes than I got, but it was still kind of entertaining, and I did find them fun episodes. I enjoyed them.
I thought they were both pretty cool. I actually liked them better than the water episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay, so let's go ahead and give it a rating. What did you rate these two-parter?
I would give the first part a 10, but then the second part I'd give it a 9 just because of the lame alien.
Yeah. I didn't care for the alien either, so I'm going to go with, for the two-parter in entirety, I'm going to give it a 7.
Wow, a 7? Really?
Yeah, because the alien kind of sucked. I'm sorry.
That much?
He was bad.
Jeez.
And the alien in the first episode of the two-parter was kind of, eh, myself. Odin? Come on.
But, you know, it wasn't really about the alien, so it was about her.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying that's
harsh.
Why I marked it down.
Harsh.
So, coming up in Doctor Who is
the Zygon invasion, where we see the return of
Osgood!
Yay! We still don't know if it's going to be the human Osgood or the Zygon Osgood.
Yep, and I guess we'll find out in this very next episode.
So, really, really cool news.
Yes.
Catherine Tate.
And David
Tennant.
Big finish.
Big finish. Woohoo! Finally!
Yep. And that's going to be very, very exciting. I can't wait to hear the Doctor and Donna together again.
Yay!
And it's really awesome that Stephen Moffat has kind of loosened the reins on that, because Russell T. always wanted to keep the new series universe and the Big Finish universe separate. So all we ever got was the old Doctors. And nothing against the old Doctors. They were all fantastic. They were all great. But as the Doctors left, like Chris Eccleston and Tennant and Matt Smith, you kind of wanted to see them join the Big Finish universe.
And the thing is that they wanted to join the Big Finish.
Yeah, well, but maybe not Eccleston. But the rest of them, definitely. I mean, I'm sure David Tennant would relish the opportunity to do Big Finish. But until that point, there was that division.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing stuff on the Time War and stuff with
Torchwood.
Torchwood, the War Doctor.
That's another thing. John Hurt is going to be getting his own Big Finish audios as the War Doctor, too. We're finally going to get the Time War through Big Finish.
Yes, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. And I'm first in line to get those because I've always been fascinated by the Time War, because really that was what bridged the gap between the Eighth Doctor and the Ninth Doctor.
So we have a lot of awesome things to look forward to from Big Finish.
Yep, absolutely. So Big Finish is becoming bigger and bigger. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. We'll be back again, probably next month sometime, but we will definitely have our quick blasts for the James Bond film Spectre. as well as the latest Doctor Who episodes. Maybe we'll get a Walking Dead in there once in a while, especially if something big happens, like this whole Glenn thing.
Yes, we shall see.
Which I'm still part of the Glenn Deniers group.
Yeah, me too. Yep. Me too.
I don't believe he's dead, but we'll find out, hopefully, in the next episode.
And I have a feeling we're not. I have a feeling they're going to drag that out.
You may be right. You may be right. We'll find out, I guess. Or maybe we won't. But that's some stuff to look forward to. And obviously, we hope everybody has a very safe and happy Halloween. And we will talk to you soon. Until then.
Boo to you.
Boo to you in Allons-y.
Allons-y.
Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say Allons-y, Morocco. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then, it would be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo. Because then I could say Allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
Hiya, folks.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, boy. I see you got my invitation. Welcome to our not-so-scary Halloween party.
We're so glad you could make it.
And look, the gang's all here.
You, that's Boo, it's you, oh, Boo, oh, Boo to you, and you, and you, and you.
Happy Halloween! Hope you're having a good time.
It's not so very scary.
Wow, you look terrific.
It's really not so scary.
Your costume is beautiful. I just love Halloween.
Boo to you, boo-boo-boo. Boo to you, boo-boo-boo.
Boo to you.
Boo to you, boo-boo-boo.
And you, and you, and you.
It's not so very scary.
Make sure you get lots of treats.
It's really not so scary.
Not too many tricks.
Boo to you, boo boo boo.
That's a great costume.
Boo to you, boo boo boo.
Oh, you scared me.
Boo 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 boo.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
You.
Boo.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.